This is the Here Here podcast. Tonight we are joined by Wyndham's prodigal son, who has finally returned to the ranks, chasing the corporate dream. Robbie Gilbertson, welcome back to Wyndham, baby.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude. So Robbie is a true Wyndham native, grew up in Wyndham, went to Wyndham High School, and has returned for, what's your official title at the Mountain?
Terrain Park Manager.
Terrain Park Manager. I'm writing this down, so put some respect on my name. In the words of Birdman, put some respect on my name. Terrain Park Manager. Wyndham had, let's go back to when we were growing up riding Wyndham, because the terrain parks when we were kids were
sick at the time, for
sick
sure.
Sick at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I would say, so we're talking 2000s, early 2000s, mm-hmm. right? So that was when Nobby was head of park staff, maybe Casey before that.
Yep.
And Wyndham had a good park program. Like, what was it like growing up right at the bottom of the mountain?
It was amazing. I mean, every day after school, take the bus up, ride. Night riding nights, it was like
ride
till 9, 10 p.m. But
yep.
Midweek, you'd get up there as fast as you could, chase as many laps, get three or four in if you're lucky.
Yep.
Just running through the locker room, throwing your stuff on so you get as many laps as you could.
Was that with the club or that was just on your own?
That was on my own as I got older. Club is, you know, I think that was probably till like sixth grade. And then I didn't really get into snowboarding until I was probably 13 or 14.
Really?
Yeah.
So what, skateboarding before that or what?
Skateboarding,
what led
yeah.
into it?
It was really just like the block of not being able to afford the gear and everything. So, you know, grew up skateboarder. Then eventually all my friends are snowboarding up there. I get hand-me-downs, get introduced to it. Some of the Ski Tuesday lessons, and then you get introduced to snowboarding. But before that, it's just like, you know, I had plastic snowboards in the backyard, whatever.
Yeah.
Building a jump out of a snowplowed pile or whatever it is.
But yeah, making do with what you got.
Yeah.
Making do with what you got. But that's, man, back to the night riding. I don't know if a lot of mountains had night riding.
Yeah.
Like we had. It was
probably not.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Yeah. I almost think there were Sundays in the mix, but maybe it was just
Thursday, Friday,
Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah. Until what? 10?
10 or 11, yeah. It was late.
So you could go, you could ride the end of the day and then right into the night.
Right. And all the park trails. The main park trails were all open at night.
All the park trails were open and lit up.
Yeah.
Lit up. I mean, that's a standout memory for me is just, I mean, the ability to take laps like that.
Right. And you were really the only ones out there. It was like the park rats and, you know, beginners, but on the other trails. And so it was just, you're hanging with all the homies the whole time.
Yeah, it was our crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was our crew. Oh, man. Yeah, it's so fortunate to be able to have the access like that. But, you know, that is an interesting a point, you know, that we've made a number of times is barrier to entry.
Right.
Right. And being a young kid in a small town, even being so close, there's still a barrier to entry.
Definitely. And like, you know, the school helps out. There's programs to get you up there once, twice a week. But, you know, you catch on to it. There's nothing else to do around here growing up. So it's like you get fixated on it. That's all you think about. So,
yeah,
you know, eventually you bug a buddy to give you an old board or whatever and that's your way in.
Yeah. Were you into parks right away?
Pretty much because all my buddies had rode before me. So it was kind of like I was the last one in the train of guys all getting up there. So, you know, I had to learn quick and catch up. And
I've said this forever. Chasing somebody who's better than you.
It's the best.
Is the only way to progress.
Yeah.
Is like, try to keep up.
Yeah.
Try to keep up.
Yeah. And we'd mob like, 20 of us deep down wraparound. And I had to feel like my whole group of friends were like the younger ones because we were chasing all of you guys. So it was like,
yeah,
we were just trying to keep up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the classic run, the Wrap Wilbur Jib run.
Wrap to jib every day.
Wrap to jib.
All day.
Every single day. Yeah, I mean, at that era, was the pipe still at the mountain?
Pipe was still there when I first started, yeah.
Was that, was a pipe there when you started working there? Or was it already gone?
I think the
I don't remember.
Pipe was gone by the time I had started, because I didn't start working there till 2013. Because that was after graduated high school, left, came back.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's one of the other things that I feel like with Wyndham is like their park program was for the era, so early 2000s, they had a half pipe. But I feel, we've said it, like for the era, the parks were good. But, I mean, Wyndham had a pipe cutter. They had a quarter pipe. They had, we were saying, a number of parks.
Yep.
They had
a ton of rails.
Ton boxes. Of rails. Yeah. That I think kind of set a bar for a period of time.
Right. And we all grew up and it was just like, that was the standard. Is like, we had a sick park program. That's all we knew.
Yeah.
So it was great.
Yeah, that was status quo for us.
Right.
So I'm a little bit older. When you were riding Wyndham, was there still a big rivalry between Wyndham and Hunter?
Always.
Oh, I mean, to this day.
Probably.
To this day.
Yeah.
Maybe not under the current levels, not the same. But for us, I'm glad it lasted at least through guys. Yeah.
But I think like that was great because like a rivalry pushes each other where it's like, oh, they're doing this, we're going to one-up it.
Yeah.
And it, like, fed on the program, and you could tell because, I mean, the later days when I got into working parks, it was just like, we were both, like, what I think was putting out pretty good parks. Like, Hunter had all the Ice Coast guys, they were doing their thing. They were
awesome. Incredible.
Really setting it off.
Yep.
And then at Wyndham, like, we were building the program at that era and bringing it all back, and the whole thing was just like, oh, well, Hunter's doing this, like, we got to try to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and there was always the when you rolled up to Hunter with a crew.
Yeah.
And rode their parks.
Yeah.
You know, there's always like the little moments. It's like, I better put a trick down right now because I'm in front of the rival gang. Yeah. Throwing up sets. Yeah. So after high school, you kind of decided to turn snowboarding into a career.
Yeah. Yeah. So after high school, went to Arizona for a year, did some college, came back, started working in the trades, and then I'm out of high school. The whole pass thing, the barrier entry whole thing is back, so got a job on park crew, which was always like, grew up wanting to do it. It just really wasn't a choice then. So got in, and it was really just a way to like snowboard with all my friends and get up there.
Yeah, be on hill as much as possible.
Right, yeah. And then I think my second year, that's when Keith came in, and he had done tons of crazy stuff at Neshoba and all the places he had been prior. So he came in like raising the bar.
Shout out Keith Kreischer.
Shout out Keith Kreischer.
Yep.
Like 100%. So yeah, he came in, like picked it back up because I feel like parks were kind of dying out again for a minute here.
Yep.
So he brought it all back. We had a sick crew. I mean, they were like investing in the parks again. I think it was probably my second or third year we got crazy opportunity to just like build as many features. We got a huge steel budget. That's actually when prior to that, I was going to move out to Portland, Oregon and just wanted to move there. Just wanted to do something different again. It's itching to go back out west. And Keith was like, if you stick around, I'll make you assistant manager. I'll send you to Cutter's Camp. And I was like, well, that sounds cool. Like, at this point, I still don't realize I can make a career out of this anything. So I'm like, think about it a little bit. I'm like, yeah, I'm in. So go out to Cutter's Camp. And
where was that?
That was at Loon Mountain in New Hampshire.
Yep.
That's when they still did the East Coast Cutter's Camp. And I think that was what really opened my eyes to being like, oh, you could really do this as a career. And it's not just a way to snowboard and scrape by and make a little money.
Right.
So, yeah, came back after that, and that was the same year where, we got everything set up to, like, really build the program. Huge steel budget. We got the shop built, everything. We brought in Richie Pockets from Sugarbush, who he's like the one I look to. He's the reason I'm still doing this for sure. So he came in, we built, I think, 40 rails that season.
Holy cow.
And a shop.
Yep.
Like, we were on a roll. It was like new era. All of this is happening. We were crushing.
Perfect storm.
It was a perfect storm.
Yeah. Of drive and budget at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And that never happens. Yep. So ironically enough, that's also the year that it was like an El Nino year, but we got all rain.
Yeah.
And late winter, we weren't open to December. I think we all got laid off right before December. Like right after we get this huge chunk of money to like build the park program, do all this stuff. Mother Nature was like, nah, not happening. So Rich ends up going back to Sugarbush, and that's kind of what started pulling me there, because he was just like always in my ear, like, yeah, come work for me. Come do this. Like, we're doing it at Sugarbush. And I ended up finishing off the year at Wyndham. And then I had that itch where it was just like, I got to move on. I got to do something different. Love the hometown. But, you know, it is, you grow up somewhere, it's like all you could think about is itching the next place. So I started kind of plotting that year, and was going to go to Sugarbush, but I basically would have had to start from the bottom again. And just start as like bottom of line hand crew. At that point, I was assistant manager. I'd gone to Cutter's Camp. I had like some qualifications.
Yeah. So I had gone to Cutter's Camp.
Right.
You had some stripes on your shoulder.
Right. And I didn't want to just like
what you're capable of.
Right. I didn't want to just start over again, because I don't know, I felt like I was getting somewhere with it. So talked to the boys at Sugarbush, and they were like, yeah, our old park groomer just went over to Waterville Valley. He's the new park manager over there. He needs a right-hand man. So ended up packing everything up, moving to New Hampshire. Did a fab season there, built a bunch of rails, did a season. It wasn't really what either of us were looking for. It was just like a lot of battling upper management, what they wanted for parks, how we saw it, what I wanted to do, you know. So it kind of got to the end of that season, and I was just like, I'm still not like where I want to be.
Yeah.
Talked to the guys at Sugarbush again, and they were like, dude, you still got a home. You still can come here. Like, we got a spot for you. Still got to start at the bottom. And that was kind of like, well, if I'm going to go somewhere and start over, this is the place to do it. Like,
yeah.
I grew up watching them just raise the bar, change how parks are built from the standard slope style runs to
Is slope style, right?
Yeah. Yes. And like, they're just building skate park on snow, like the most fun looking stuff.
Yep.
So, yeah, I then moved to Vermont, started working at Sugarbush, and from day one, like, met the guys and welcomed into this community that just took me in, helped me out, brought me, like, made me feel so at home. And it was like the best times ever. I mean,
that's awesome.
It was great. I met like my best friends, people I look at like family, you know, and worked there for, I think it was 3 or 4 years. Started to get the itch again of just like, I want to do more. I want to do something else.
Yeah, what's the next thing?
Yeah. It's just like, cause you know, there's a hierarchy there for sure. Where it was like, you're in line. If you want to move up there, you got to put in the time.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Fair
like,
play.
Yep. People don't leave there because it was the best. So like,
yep.
For me to move up there, it wasn't happening anytime soon.
Right.
So I ended up going on to work for, and I didn't love that side of the industry because I grew up on the,
what was your role there? Yeah.
Basically like,
yeah.
Not fun stuff. You're,
it's not the love of the sport.
It wasn't the side of snowboarding I knew.
Yeah.
And I don't know, anything in an office, I just start going crazy.
Yeah.
So I wasn't loving that. So that was another point where I just like started hitting the guys up at Sugarbush again. I was just like, I think I want to come back. I'd only been out of the game for a season. And so I ended up going back part-time, just pushing a rake again. Like, oh, I love this stuff.
Hands-on, baby.
Yeah. Got back into it. Next winter rolls around, and I'm still just, like, not loving corporate life in outside of the snowboard industry, like, directly.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to PJ and Trevor over at Sugarbush, and they made some moves around and got me in there, supervisor, fabricator, and that's when it kind of really opened up again. It was just like, all right, we're going for it. Like, I don't care about money. I don't care about any of this. Like, I do this for the love. And it was game on.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's when it really started to pick up again. It was, and it was sick because it was like, that's how I finished off the past three or four seasons at Sugarbush. I think I was there for a total of 9 years. Two of them, I wasn't really working parks, but, yeah, so came back right into it, and it was cool because I was kind of on the older end of the park crew. So, like, that's when you start thinking, like, oh, I got to teach the next generation, bring in the younger guys and show them the way. Because, like,
oh, I'm the leader now?
Yeah. It's just like, oh, like, I'm the old guy?
Yeah.
But, like, cool. I want to show all these young guys how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, like, the big thing in the last few years was just, like, finding the young guys and, like, teaching them, taking them under my wing, showing them everything I know. Because we're not going to do this forever. It's like, there's going to be a time where it's like, all right, like, snowboarding is great, but I just want it for snowboarding now.
Yep.
So,
yep. And to take them under your wing with the broad view of from the first step of a trailer load of steel comes in, and it's in bundles, and you unload it with a forklift, and you go blank slate.
Yeah.
This plus time plus snow is whatever you want it to be.
Right.
Right. This is a artist with a brushstroke, right? It's like, here it is, but this is what you need to do to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think on that side of things of building from scratch is such, like, being in the shop, the time that you spend fabricating and building and painting and prepping and organizing and having your rail list and knowing where your rails are going to go is like feeds the hype almost more than riding it. Like, sometimes you're just, cause you're in it and you're watching it come, like, you're from watching nothing. It all build up.
Yeah. And it'd all start with, like, you know, we'd be in the shop working on something, doing refab on an old rail, and just like this idea would pop into your head. Or you'd watch a snowboard video and be like, oh, that's a sick feature. And that's where it comes out, where you're like, you're drawing on a pizza box from lunch of, like, ideas of features and the dimensions you'd build it and stuff. And then you get that load of steel, and 2 weeks later, you're welding the rail that you just, like, thought of or popped in your head or you saw in a video, and you're like, oh, this would be sick. But that was, like, the whole thing. Like, we'd always pin them up on our shop wall at Sugarbush, just, like, the pizza box ideas of just, like, these sketches that you'd come up with, or, like, wow, this is the coolest thing.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And then, and all that work being realized when, you know, that's kind of a product, I guess we would say, but, like, when the part comes together, when the product comes together, when your piece is in the snow and people are riding, whether it's an event or whether it's just the weekend of riders, and just being like, yeah, I built that.
Right.
Like, no, I didn't just build. Like, I built that. Yeah. Like, that concept is mine.
Yeah.
That all the effort in that is mine. The paint on it is mine.
Yeah.
And now people are just sending it.
Yeah. Like, and it makes you care about, like, the entire product more. Because it's like, yeah, you could weld a rail and, like, that's cool and all. But, like, you put all the work into constructing that whole feature, setting it in the snow, shaping everything. And then you're caring about the whole 20-foot diameter around this feature, and it just spreads, because the more stuff you build, you're like, oh, well, that one's my baby, but so is this one.
And the feedback has to be good,
right?
Because that's my baby, I built that,
right?
Yeah, it's like feedback has to be good.
I don't want to hear that rail sucks, and if it does, it's like, well, let's bring it back into the shop, let's chop it up and re-weld it different.
We're not living like this.
Yeah,
this is it. Yeah. So coming into from Sugarbush, felt the need for a change. How did the connection to come back to your hometown? Who connected the dots on that?
So this was like a big mix of a lot of great people in this community.
Let's go.
You know, so I was definitely at the point at Sugarbush where I was like, you know, like, I'm kind of like older guy on crew. I want to give the younger guys opportunity and like not be in their way, because I want to see everybody grow. And like, I put all these time into like molding these people into park builders, and like, I don't want to just stand in their way till they're like, oh, I'm over it, I'm going to go get a welding job or whatever. Like, this gave me so much that I wanted to give them that. So I was kind of thinking about just kind of getting out of it, and I wanted to come home and be closer to family. I have some land here, so like, I'm like, oh, I want to like build a house, get this going. And I came back to visit one weekend, linked up with Johnny O'Connor, and
we shout met out up. Johnny O'Connor.
Shout out Johnny O. Yeah, I met up at the backyard, kind of messing around on the rope tow, and he's like, so what do we got to do to like get you back involved with Wyndham? And at this point, I'm like, ah, dude, I think I'm out of it. Like, I'm pretty over it. Like, I'll always have my hands in a park somehow, like, helping out. But I'm ready to, like, close the door. You know, I'm happy with my career. I worked my way up, made it to where I needed to be at Sugarbush. And, you know, I could close the door and be cool with it. And so we went out riding that day, went to Wyndham, had a blast, wrapped a jib all day.
All day.
All the same side hits, same runs, like... You're mobbing. Next thing you know, there's 15 of us mobbing down the trail, and you're like, oh, this is that feeling. Yeah. Like, I remember this. This is the best thing ever.
I'm 14 right now.
Yeah. Like, oh, am I still doing the back one off the side hit that we were doing at 13 years old? The train of 20 of us?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, like, crazy. And, you know, I saw that parks had room for improvement, and that definitely was, like, something that checked in my brain. I was like, remember like what we were doing here again, and like, I want to bring that back. So after we ride the mountain, we go back to Johnny's rope tow, we're riding, chatting, and again he hits me with, so what do we gotta do to get you up here? And I'm like, I could be convinced, like this could happen. So we stay in touch, you know, I come back from Mash and Bash, I help out with the builds. And that was sick to like be hands-on with the crew and, you know, help shape the home mountain again.
Yeah, that's Johnny's signature event at Wyndham. That's 10 years running, years running, because there's a couple years in the middle that it didn't happen.
Yeah,
but it's like,
I think it's 10 years, but only 9 of them happened because of COVID.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I mean, classic event at Wyndham.
Oh,
yeah,
it's the banger.
Yeah,
that's the one.
So come back. You help with the build on that.
Yep, and. You know, I run into a lot of people that I knew up there, and conversations happen, you know. I go back to Sugarbush, finish off the year, had a lot of community support of making it happen, and, you know, months of talking and this and that, and I end up moving back, working with Jesse in the welding shop.
Yes, sir!
Shout out Jesse at Bones Welding.
Jesse, that guy... I don't even know. We don't talk about him on this podcast. This is a podcast for the people. So yeah, when Robbie first came back, I had a need at the shop for an extra set of hands, and we put in a couple weeks, like six weeks. The summer's been a blur. So
a blink
it's very
of an eye.
Yeah. But really, you know, when it comes to building the rails, is like a lot of fabrication, a lot of time management, you know, and quality welds, baby. Yeah. So Robbie stepped right into it in the shop, and we busted it out for a bit of time before the Wyndham thing kicked off,
which was huge because, you know, welded for 10 years, but self-taught people teaching other people how to weld you can call it welding, but you know, then you go into a real metal shop and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. And
you're like, oh, that was so much easier.
You mean I could do this 10 times faster and it looks better and it's stronger? Oh,
you know what? I'm gonna do it your way.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah. You got more experience than me.
Yeah. Because There is so much time and effort that goes into building a high quality park. I mean, you know, if you want to take it from, you know, any X Games, Olympics, any of that, any super high level, when you look at any of those events, the amount of fabrication and high quality metalwork that goes into that to make that happen is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. It's more than just like a rail. It's a piece of art.
It's a piece of art. Yeah.
Like, and everything.
And they're changing for each event. And they're, you know, so that's such a cool aspect of this that, you know, obviously we know about, but maybe goes uncelebrated or a little bit unrecognized.
Right.
Of like the skill set that goes behind it and the effort that goes behind it.
And the pizza. Zen of pushing a rake.
Like, and the pizza boxes that go behind
the
it.
The pizza boxes on the wall. Yeah.
It's all about the pizza boxes. Yeah. So you step back in, you come and weld with old Bones for a bit of time to, you know, just to get the vibes going, you know, to fabricate. They bring you in to the mountain pretty early on.
Yeah, like in July.
Yeah, so gave you the summer to kind of dial stuff in, which when you're taking a program that has had multiple heydays, right, we could say.
Yeah.
You know, the when we were talking about of like the early 2000s that all of us reminisce on, that was when we were young and riding at the mountain, and all of the ups and downs from there, and then kind of where the program was at, and saying like, all right, there's a lot of room for improvement. There's a lot of stuff. There's a good bones, good skeleton to it, but a lot of work to do.
A lot of work to do. Yeah.
So, and I think we made kind of a joke earlier, but like, management, budget, vision, all at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. Wyndham's given that to you.
I'm blessed.
Yeah.
All the pieces are there.
Yeah.
Now we just need Mother Nature to work with
to
us.
To do her, to do what she do.
Yeah, but I mean, from the start, it's like, I get hired on as an operator this summer. So I'm just running excavators, skid steers, whatever they need. But I get Fridays to work on parks.
Mm.
So that was huge because it was like, all right, I've got this load of stuff to do, but I have Fridays. So every Friday all summer was driving around the mountain in a lull or whatever and pulling rails out of the woods and bringing them down to the shop and getting the rail yard going. Or if it's raining, I'm working on cleaning out the shop, organizing. And next thing you know, it's September and I can be in the shop every day. And I'm like, oh, it's happening.
But all of the rails are there.
Yeah.
From the whole mountain.
Everywhere.
They're all in order of a style of feature.
Yep.
Right. And the parks were spread out across the mountain. Right. So you had parks on kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
And so as a, you know, over the years, there's features that kind of fit a specific park, and they accumulate in that area.
Yep.
And so, like,
they
that
get forgotten about.
They get forgotten about, or they get, you know. And so pulling all of that back together, which the mountain gave you time all summer to, like, pull everything back. You used it efficiently to organize everything. So when you hit the ground in September, I mean, you could watch, you know, Instagram videos, pictures, whatever, you could watch progress in real time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was awesome for us.
Yeah.
Because we're like, oh, let's go. You know,
I think we all were just like, oh, I forgot about that rail.
Right.
And then I'm pulling out, and I brought down.
I learned front boards on that rail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, in the
rail. I caught my edge on that rail. I tacoed that rail.
I felt that rail before on my ribs.
Is there a dent in the middle of that rail?
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's down to like now the rail yard, I'm looking across and there's almost 70 features down there.
Metal.
Like, this is so much potential.
Yeah.
And metal, and just like, I'm going into it thinking I'm like walking in and like, ah, like we're going to have to rebuild the program, like start with scratch. And like, there's a lot of work that went into it. But also, there's 70 features there sitting there, which need a lot of work, but the bones are there.
The bones are there, yeah. Yeah, so a huge shout out to a couple of people at Wyndham, right?
Oh yeah,
like name names.
Yeah, shout out Maggie Brabazon.
Maggie Brabazon,
Mountain Ops Manager.
Yes,
huge one. Tyler Prange, Director of Mountain Ops, would not have taken this job if it wasn't for him.
Yep.
He was in one of the early interviews, and one of the earliest things he said, he was like, "The pinball effect." When I'm talking about parks, where it's just like, yeah, it's not straight down the line of the trail. It's you're bouncing back and forth. I'm like, oh, he gets it.
Yeah.
Like he gets this like skate park on snow thing. Like he sees Done. What I'm trying to do.
Yes. Yeah.
Ted Davis, like
from
the start.
Yeah.
Like had my back, gave me opportunities, gave me the opportunity to come back and give me this chance, you know?
Yeah. Ted pushed hard. Ted pushed. So big shout out to all of them. Like the success of any program on Hill is the management, you know, the upper management meeting the program management and the visions aligning.
Yeah.
And you can see it happening.
Yeah.
You can see it. It's like the proof is in the rail garden.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. Yeah. It's like the proof is in the stack of the 70 features.
Yeah. And I'm super fortunate because it's like, you know, Maggie and Tyler are close to my age. They know what I've done. They know what I'm trying to do with the parks. Like, there's no questions. It's like, what do you need? How can we make it work? And they're working with me rather than, like, in the past at any mountain, upper management is usually, like, talking to the principal. We're just like, I need this because I want to build a snowboard jump and a rail. And they're like,
you're grounded.
Yeah.
Like, go to in-school suspension right now.
How about a race program?
Yeah. Like, you know,
like, no shade, but different lanes.
Tiny bit of shade, but not. We love. Yeah. But yeah, so them seeing the vision, I mean, it's just showing up.
Right.
It's showing up. So what? So your ideal winter, right now, right off the cuff, everything works perfectly. The clouds assemble. What are we looking at? What's the style? Describe this, because for people who don't understand the difference between, like, back to like the Olympics or any kind of slope style event where it's hit feature, next feature, in line, pick between two features.
Right.
Like, it's a very systematic, closed course, linear kind of merit for most of us. Who, especially, we're not hitting huge jumps anymore. My knees can't take that.
No, we'll still try, but we'll limp. But we're going to try.
Yeah, we'll limp around. Mammoth 2025. We'll limp around for a while.
Three or four of us hurt on day one.
Yeah. Ah, my knee hurts. So describe the difference between that. Like, I mean, obviously there's jump lines, there's going to be rail lines and stuff, but the difference in kind of your vision. Like, what's your ideal winter? What does this look like?
Ideal winter, we get the snow, we get the temperatures.
Buried, yep.
Mother Nature works with us.
Yep.
This all comes down to what I learned at Sugarbush and skate park on snow.
Mm.
Like, that's the best way to put it, where, you know, every park is not this slope-style event of jump rail, tiers. It's all like a pinball machine where you're bouncing across all over the place. There's features all over. There's transition, you know. And the way we're going to run it is, like, we have mini wrap. So that's
classic
small park.
Yep.
Small features, but introduce that, like, pinball effect of, you know, you don't have to go straight down the hill and hit these features in a line. You can get creative and, you know, start it from the bottom of, like, push the creativity of your riding.
Yes.
You could be a sick rider and have tricks, but I personally would rather see, like, that was a sick line. Like, see how he
just hit four features
in that, like, 20-foot span? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I never thought about hitting it like that.
Yeah. Like, that's way cooler for me, and I think that makes you a better rider, is just being able to, like, bounce around and hit stuff creatively and push you. So, yeah, we'll have mini wrap, lower warpath, border cross at the top, bottom section, another rail garden. Wilbur will be the show out, you know, your standard good size jumps up top, and then bottom is like really where that's going to be the showcase spot ideally. Introduce really like what we're trying to do.
Get in front and center. I mean, underlift, right? Yeah. Underlift, front and center, right in front of the lodge. Yeah. What's Robbie's favorite feature?
I love a good flat tube.
Just a flat tube.
Just a, like a big one, like lift tower tube.
Oh yeah.
That's the best.
Butter.
All day.
Buttery.
All day.
Yep. Big landing zone, especially.
You could send it
Yeah.
You could boost off it if you needed to.
Yeah.
Yep.
And like as we get a little older, not that we're old, but it just, yeah, it's smoother. It's less like, it's not a single bar down.
Less taco
factor. Yeah, more, a lot of forgiveness. Good learning for the kids too.
Anyone can hit it.
Yep, anybody can hit it. We also, there's a couple events. Speaking of Johnny O'Connor's Mash and Bash, there's some good creative events coming to Wyndham as well in the works.
Yep. So December 21st, we'll have Ignite the Light, hosted by Johnny O'Connor, Mike Rav, NEMA.
Let's go.
We're in the works, early talks of doing a bank slalom
because
they're a blast.
Yeah.
Didn't really know about them till Vermont and. Yeah. They're all over up there, and like they're great because they get everyone from the old heads to the young guys going. It's just like good camaraderie. It's just ripping turns. Yep.
Bank slalom is a classic. So
classic.
So pray for snow this year because we need the snow to have a bank slalom. So Mother Nature, if you're listening, that'd be great. Thank you. Yeah, this Ignite the Light. That's like a, how would you describe it? A community progression session.
Pretty much, yeah. Just, you know, everybody comes up, we jam, there's no pressure, it's not hectic, it's, you know, we're all learning
it's
together.
An event, not a contest.
It's a gathering. Yeah.
It's a gathering.
It's a good gathering.
Yes.
But I think that's a perfect way to kick off the season is like, you know, right in Wilbur, we're all hanging out, we're learning tricks together, we're meeting people. You know, that's the biggest thing I learned at Sugarbush is like, embrace the community.
Yeah.
And like, create that community. Because you could show up somewhere in any park and you get intimidated and you're like, oh, I'm getting cool guy and stuff. But like, you go other places and you're like, first run down, you're just meeting people like, hey, what's up, man? Like, that's what I want.
Welcoming.
Well, yeah. Like, yeah. You go down and you're not intimidated and it's not a scary park where it's like, oh, that guy's really good. It's just like, we're all humans. We're all here snowboarding. Like,
yeah.
Acting like kids.
And trying to have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the whole goal, right?
The whole goal is to have fun. Yes. Yeah, and I mean, what a roster. I mean, Johnny, local legend, you know, global legend, Johnny O'Connor, global legend, you know, Mike Rav. Mike Rav is a face that's been, you know, pretty regularly at Wyndham, you know, with Johnny, and that's just been incredible.
Yeah.
So what a cool opportunity to have two very elite snowboarders, you know, one of whom is homegrown.
Right.
You know, and repping and putting on events that are community minded.
Right.
You know, that's incredible.
Yeah.
It's huge. Incredible. Oh, man. Big. Let's go. Mother Nature. Let's get it cracking. We need a lot of powder so we can build all these features. Let's go. Let's go. Robbie, I'm excited for the vision, man.
Thank you.
I think the proof you needed was in the support of your upper management and then the support by all of former park staff who might be a little old to be getting out there and doing what we're going to be doing this year.
But we're doing it.
But we're doing it. We're going to do it.
And that's what makes me so confident coming into it. It's just like, we've got people from the young guys to, you know, teach, but then we've got a crew of old heads that are OG park crew. I was just like, yeah, we got this.
I think I first ranked in 06.
Yeah, I was in sixth grade. I wasn't even snowboarding yet.
So the technique is still there, the speed is not. A little more crabby these days. Dude, super excited for what this year has to, you know, has in store for us. So, Evan,
you said it. I'm just excited, man.
Dude,
first time in a long time.
Yep. You got a return of the old guard of the park staff that are going to be sauntering around the mountain, you know, like they, you know, like it's still 2006.
As
but
we
I
should.
Yeah. But I think, you know, just for yourself as like, super excited for this year, a lot of support, and it just shows with, with everybody showing up and showing out for it.
Definitely. It was the most welcoming thing to come back. And, you know, even before I thought about coming back, just like having that support to come back and getting here and just everyone.
Like, what do we got to do?
Yeah. Like making it happen, helping me make it happen. Yeah. Everyone down to the crew. It's just like, we're set to succeed.
Ready to go. Dude, excited for this winter.
Oh, yeah.
Evan, thanks for pushing buttons. Oh, we're going to get a freestyle Evan out. You know, listen, Evan, take this however you want.
Okay.
So Evan and I did a trip this past winter. We flew into Tahoe, rode Tahoe, and then went up to Mount Shasta, and then up to White Pass, Washington. So we hit three different, we hit a bunch of Tahoe resorts. We got a couple powder days. Evan sends in the powder.
Oh, yeah.
Sends. And Evan, don't get, okay. I just didn't expect the send.
Dude,
I didn't expect the level of the send.
Dude, bring when the fall feels a little bit more of a cushion.
Yes, yeah.
It's okay.
When you have 2 feet of freshies under your feet. Yeah,
it's all right.
No, I can, I'll send that one. Sure.
Yeah, why not?
For sure.
What's going to happen?
For sure.
I'm going to land on a pillow. Oh, no.
Yeah. Versus 10 p.m. Thursday night.
Yeah. That's how I broke my wrist was 10 p.m. ice rides, you know?
Yeah,
you can't be picky here, though.
Nah, no, not at all.
No, it's 10 p.m. and we're riding. Come on, this, yeah.
It's a thrill, but dude, I love the vision. I can't wait. And I know there's gonna be a lot of people that are in the snowboarding program that are gonna be pumped for this too, see something a little bit different.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
yep, and see what the draw becomes, because I think you know, like with any of these, there's certain other mountains that their program is just so dialed. Their creativity is so dialed. Sugarbush being one of them, right? That is a draw in and of itself.
Definitely.
Right? And so the opportunity to take the reins here and give it a go here and just see, you know. I mean, Johnny and Mike Rav are already in. Let's go, you know, and just see what happens. Cannot wait.
Yeah.
I mean, to hear an event already happening in December, I mean, when's the last time we had an event in December for snowboarding? Was that, Johnny's
early
Nightmare
Mash and
Before Rails or whatever that was called?
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas. Which is Mash and Bash.
Yep. Yeah. So sick.
Yep.
Doug, thank you, Robbie.
Thanks, Robbie.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers. This is the Hear Hear podcast from the Crispin's Wyndham House Studios, hosted by Jesse Novak, produced by Evan Gutcha. Thank you for listening.